The story of George Eastman, one of America's most successful captains of industry. Born in 1854 in Waterville, New York, we first meet the future inventor of the Kodak as an amateur photographer trudging along a country lane with his heavy camera and tripod and cumbersome glass plate case and assisted by a young friend.
Why come way out here to Mackinac, George, when there's lots of things in Rochester to photograph?
Well, I'd like to try my new plate on the Mackinac Bridge. I wanted to invent a flexible plate that anyone can use, and I'm sure I've got it in this paper roll film.
These old glass plates are sure heavy, to say nothing of that big camera.
Yeah, well, that's my next job. A small camera that will fit in your pocket. All right, Bob, we'll just set up at this end of the bridge.
Hey, look at the view from here, George.
Yeah, I'm glad it's Sunday. Nobody around. I'll get the camera ready.
Is that all you have to do? Just put that paper roll in the back of your camera and it's ready?
Yeah, it's simple, isn't it? There you are. Hey, now that's one exposure made. And now I turn this little key here and I'm ready for another one. Don't have to fool with wet plates and all that.
Hey, George, look. Sitting on that rock under the bridge.
Oh, it's a man and woman. I didn't see them. Sparking, huh?
Yeah. Uh-oh, they see us. They're coming over. For the love of Mike, it's my Uncle Nat.
Yeah? Who's the girl?
Why, it's Tilly Mayberry. Uh-oh, she's supposed to be engaged to Joe Davis. If Joe knew this...
Hey, you. What you doing, huh? What you doing there?
Nothing, Uncle Nat. Making pictures.
Pictures, huh? That's what I thought. Spying on me, huh? Making pictures of me and Tilly.
Now, wait a minute.
I ought to. I'll fix that camera.
Hey, look out, Jack.
That'll teach you. It won't print no picture now.
Oh, yes, I will. I don't take pictures on glass plates.
No?
No, I take pictures on a paper roll, like this.
Give me that thing.
Oh, no, you don't. You better stay right where you are, Nat.
And if you know what's good for you, you'll pay for the camera right now, or I'll show the pictures to Joe Davis. How much, George?
Well, $100 is what the camera costs.
What?
You're getting off at cost, Uncle Nat.
Oh, well, here's 75. I'll owe you 25. Now, give me that picture roll. There ought to be a law against fellas like you sneaking up on people.
Well, there won't be. And someday I'll make a camera and film so small that I can take a picture and not be annoyed by fellas like you.
When next we meet our young inventor, we find him in his first conflict with capital, in the person of Colonel Alva Strong, an acquaintance who later became his close friend and business partner.
I've been trying to find something, Colonel Strong, to take the place of glass plates. And I'm certain I found it in this roll.
Impractical, George.
Well, you're an amateur photographer yourself, Colonel. Now look, with the old wet plate system, an amateur was lucky if he got one good negative out of three exposures. I suppose he could take a dozen pictures without reloading his camera each time and be sure his prints would all be perfect. Look like these.
Well... These were taken on that paper roll plate you've been telling me about.
Every one. And suppose, Colonel, the roll, of which you can take a half a dozen or more perfect pictures, costs you no more than the price of two or three glass plates, out of which you might get one good print.
Well, that sounds interesting. But suppose all this, what of it?
Well, it would revolutionize photography, wouldn't it?
The development of this roll would raise some difficult technical problems. You'd have to have a specially made camera.
Well, eventually, yes. But you see this little frame here?
Yeah.
Now, it's a roll holder of my own design. It's a lightweight frame that fits the back of any standard camera. You fasten your roll to these spools here, you see, and turn them with this key on the outside, and you're ready to photograph.
And that little gadget takes the place of a glass plate holder?
Yes, and it's interchangeable with a plate holder. Now, there's no possibility of breakage, and there are 24 exposures to the roll. It would take a dray to carry 24 glass plates.
Well, you've applied for patents, George?
Yes, I have. And the patents cover processes as well as apparatus for making the continuous strip of negative.
I suppose you'll form a company to back this.
Well, I'll have to, as I haven't the necessary capital myself.
Well, how would 2,000 do as a starter?
Well, 2,000? You mean you're interested?
I'm very much interested, George. I begin to see the possibility. As a matter of fact, you can count me in for... $5,000.
And such was the origin of roll film, the magic carpet of the amateur photographer. With the marketing of his film, Eastman realized that a light portable film camera would find a market in every home. In 1888, Eastman made his model camera, a small-sized box which could be held in the hand. And so we find our young inventor in conference with his associates in their Rochester plant.
Now, we must have a name for our camera that can't be misspelled or mispronounced by anyone. Are there any suggestions?
Well, it ought to be a strong word, George, that can be registered as a trademark. Something that everyone will remember.
And it should be a name that anyone will associate only with our product.
I see. Now, wait a minute. Now, take the first letter in camera. C. That's really a K sound. The letter K attracts me. It's firm and unyielding. It's unlike any other letter, and it's easy to pronounce. And it looks strong.
Well, then, why not two K's to begin and end the word?
And it's got to be short, too. Something like, let me see. K-Doc, K-Duke, Kodak, Kodak. Kodak. How does that sound?
That's it. You've got it. It's strong. It hits you right in the face.
Your final K did the trick. Kodak. Kodak. Yes, I like that word. We'll make it one of the best-known words in the world. A new word for the dictionary.
The Kodak and Kodak stories began to appear everywhere. It became a craze which spread over the country like wildfire. It became international almost overnight. Eastman Kodaks and Eastman films were sold in Europe, Asia, Africa. Factories to handle the European and Far Eastern trade were erected in England and Australia. Then came the motion picture industry, which consumed millions of feet of film yearly. And then, the World War.
Mr. Eastman, aerial photography plays a very great part in this war, as you no doubt realize. We of the Navy Department understand you have an aerial camera very much superior to those in use at the present time.
Well, we've perfected an automatic camera, Captain DuBose, that will make 50 exposures in quick succession.
Is this camera complicated?
No, it's a one-man affair operated by the pilot from the cockpit. Now, our camera uses the air pressure generated by the plane itself. And the main advantage over other cameras is that your pilot can devote his entire attention to the handling of his plane. When he's ready to photograph, he merely pulls the lever. You see, the camera is fastened to the fuselage.
Okay, Joe. Our sector's number 31. There's a Kraut battery in there somewhere giving our trenches the devil. The brass hats want us to photograph the sector and locate that battery.
I don't know about this new Eastman Kodak gadget we're carrying, Skipper.
Supposed to be tops in aerial photography. We're the only ones equipped with it so far. We're making a sort of test.
We? I thought it was a one-man camera. I suppose I'm going along just for the ride, eh?
You're going along just in case, fella, to keep the dogs off. If Heine gets to crowding us while we're upstairs, well, we don't come back without those sky pictures, see?
Yeah, I get it. Okay, let's go.
Set of photographs of Sector 31. Here's the concealed battery. And look at this. Another battery that we had no knowledge of, camouflage. This second battery is the one that's giving us the business.
That new Eastman aerial camera certainly does the work. Say, just look at those prints. The best and sharpest I've ever seen. Why, they even show up camouflage.
In the the summer of 1928, a small group of scientists and friends, including Thomas Edison, General Pershing, and Major General Harbord, gathered one evening after dinner in the conservatory of George Eastman's home in Rochester. With deep interest, all watched a motion picture reel unwind before their eyes. As it came to end, and the lights went on...
Fine, George, fine. I worked on color photography myself, but made a failure of it. Anybody can use it now with this new film of yours. Eh, General Pershing?
Yes, Edison. I consider Mr. Eastman's new color process as important as motion pictures themselves.
It simply reflects what can be done in organized research. This process, George, will give everyone a new appreciation of photography. Pictures in natural color.
Well, it's very simple. The entire secret of color photography, as you've just seen it, in what I call Kodokolor, lies in the film itself.
You're to be congratulated, George. I consider it the greatest development in photography to date.
And I predict that the black and white motion picture will eventually be a thing of the past.
Aside from his inventions in film and cameras, George Eastman's gifts to education exceeded $50 million. They included endowments for the Eastman School of Music, technical universities, and research laboratories. To use his own words, George Eastman once said, "It's much more fun to give money than to will it. That's why I give it." And so the lad who began life as an amateur photographer became in later years one of the world's most famous inventors, a great manufacturer, and an outstanding philanthropist. George Eastman, Captain of Industry.